You can't go for gold on the first day out. You've got to let people get to know you and why they should be doing business with you as opposed to where they're already going. Because after all, what you're trying to do here is promote someone to break a relationship that they're already very happy with to come and do business with you. And that's, it's just not easy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hi there, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of David versus David, the podcast for the small to medium business owner. Now, we talk about lots of things, but mostly about advertising and marketing. I'm David Council from here in beautiful Paradise, Hobart, and my good mate, who, oddly enough, given that the podcast is called David versus David, is also called David, and that's David Pritchard in the UK. Hey, mate, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks, David. Good morning to you from here in the UK, which means it's good evening to you down there in Tasmania.
Yes, but daylight saving has started in Tasmania, so it's long days. I'm looking at beautiful blue skies. All my trees are in leaf because I'm recording this from the Gold Record Room today. And it's nice. Spring is sprung.
I think for listeners that may have sort of missed 30 episodes ago, so what's the Gold Record Room, David?
I have a history of working in the media, and my office has gold records up on the wall that were given to me from my work with artists to help them get gold and platinum records. So, hey, it's got wank value. I like it. I don't know anybody else. Actually, you know what? I do know someone else who's got gold records now, but his come from the fact that he used to manage a really well-known band.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably got a much better claim to fame and an awesome story to go with it.
Do they still do gold records and platinum records, or is it gold MP3 players now? Or
yeah, well, you know what? That's a pretty good question, because when I was working in radio, they changed from records to CDs. So we used to get CD presentation packs, which are still done up like the gold records. But I think that, you know, it's a bit of an industry standard. It's like, you know, you've achieved gold or platinum status. Yeah. You know, I think that I'd be really surprised if they didn't do something along that line, because, you know, who wants to get a gold iPod?
Absolutely.
To put up on their wall. I don't know if you or anyone who's listening has ever been to Abbey Road Studios. I've been there. It's fantastic.
Right.
And when I was there, the corridor from, and including the reception area that ran right down, was wall-to-wall gold records. And for an old fart like me, I'm wandering down this hallway and it's like, you know, Pink Floyd, the Beatles, Alan Parsons Project, you know, all of these people that I, you know, the records that I knew, and the greater bulk of them had been recorded at the Abbey Road Studios. So unfortunately, they don't do tours because Abbey Road Studios is a working studio. But, you know, if you do what I did, and that was front up at reception and try to get in, and unfortunately, there was no one at reception when I arrived. So I went through the security door and down the corridor and only stopped when the security guard caught me. I think that makes me a stalker, but, you know, it's a good story. Abbey Road is really impressive. I've seen Studio 1 and Studio 2, albeit, you know, looking through the window. But, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you cross the zebra crossing on the other side of the road or whatever?
Oh, God, I go and cross the zebra crossing every time I come to the UK. I think that's a must-do for anybody, whether you live there or you don't. It's Abbey Road Crossing, it holds a particular place in music history. You know, I was a bit pissy that there was no VW parked on the side. You know that there's a camera, a webcam, pointed at the crossing all of the time. You can go there at any time and see the crossing and see people crossing and doing the outline as they walk across.
Right, and you can recreate your own Beatles crossing, can you?
You can. In fact, I believe that on the website where you see the camera, they hold the image there for, look, I want to say 24, maybe 48 hours. So you can go there afterwards, after you've been there, and still see yourself on the crossing. You just go to that time code and look yourself up.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, this is showing something. I mean, talk about gold records and gold CDs and whatever, and whether they do that now. Some things never change, but some things do change with time and technology. And Of course, one of the things that's changed is databases and email lists, which is what we were talking about a little bit before the show. You know, people used to gather customer interest. I remember years ago, we used to send out or sponsor, well, get an entry in a card deck. You know, we used to, magazines in our industry, we used to put a card in with our company name, a product, an offer, maybe whatever. And it used to go out and people, you know, people in our industry, computer managers at the time, used to receive these card decks and they'd just sign, you know, they actually had to write their name and address and send it back in the post. It was all postpaid and whatever. And then at the end of a month, we'd end up, the company would, the magazine company would send us back our cards of people that were interested and stuff. And that was a way that we were building our list of prospective, that was one way we were building our list of prospective customers. And we also paid for things like industry researched databases and stuff. You know, you used to have market research companies that would call around and physically phone people and find out who the contacts were and all that sort.
Actually, at one point, you used to be able to go and buy the electoral roll.
Yeah, well, you still can over here. You can buy an edited version of it, which misses out a lot of personal information and stuff. But you can get the basic, I think name and address or whatever, something like that. There's a cut-down version, although I think you can even opt out of that if you wish.
Well, these days, I believe in England, you can just get on the tube train and wait for someone to leave the CDs there as they travel by.
Yeah.
happens. Now, that joke is about 18 months old for all of you, but you know, look it up, it's worthwhile.
I'm sure it happens all over the world. Confidential personal data being left by somebody that was a little bit careless. But anyway, whatever. You know, there's ways that, you know, we're talking about historical ways that people used to, well, historical, they probably still happen to some degree. But, you know, this is the way that companies and people used to build their databases. Actually ringing around and investigating and wheedling out the details and stuff, or purchasing lists, or doing marketing campaigns to generate responses and get them back and so on. Obviously, you know, the requirement is still there. People still want to do these things. People still want to acquire contact details, people's names, you know, methods to add them to their database. But of course, the database is now much more electronic and the inputs to them are much more electronic. And we're talking really about list building, I guess, aren't we?
Absolutely. And you know what? Since we spoke about this last time, I've found a fantastic new way to build lists. It's just a twist on an old thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to use that one as the first example? Because this is really quite cool.
Yeah, go on then.
So we all are aware that social media is basically a giant database. People hand over information, you know, very readily to places like Facebook to, you know, sign up for an account. Well, you can mine the information that's in that Facebook account. So if you're a, let's say you're the local Ford dealer and your main competitor is the local Volvo dealer and you've both got a Facebook page, you can actually, using a plugin, mine the information of all of the people who like the page of your opposition, so of that Volvo dealer.
Yep.
You can then drag it into an Excel spreadsheet, save it as a CSV file, and import it as a custom list into your Facebook page, and then mark it directly to those people. So you don't have to take anybody else on board. You can just have your ad appear on people who have liked the page from your opposition.
Right, okay.
How cool is that? And that is not illegal.
That was going to be my next question. Is that legal?
No, it's not illegal because the information's been handed over willingly. And all that you're really doing is, you know, it would be the same as running a campaign and targeting just people who like that page. But that's hard to do if you haven't set up the custom list. So all you do is just mine the information out and use the custom list. I've got to say, you all, in terms of ID that you get, is the Facebook ID. You don't get, you know, Jilly Smith, 28 years of age, lives on this street,
okay,
you know, likes Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and the Rolling Stones. So you don't get all that information. You get the Facebook number that represents that person. And that's all you need to be able to target your ad to that person.
Okay.
So what a fantastic way. It's time consuming to actually extract that information, but it's a hell of a lot easier than going through and, you know, writing it down by pen and then setting up an ad that just goes to one person.
Absolutely. And I suppose, obviously with that, you know, you're encouraging people, although you have very little information on that person, say just a Facebook ID to start with, but by encouraging them to visit your page, and if you have good enough reason for them once they arrive at your page, you will be encouraging them to like your page, you will be encouraging them from there to perhaps visit your website, you will be encouraging them to opt into newsletters or marketing options that you have. So you know, it's one step. I see this sometimes, that quite often people, they ask me about, you know, that they want to do it all in one go. They want the instant, we want everything now, you know? And sometimes it's a little bit more of a slowly catch the customer. So you know, you drip a bit here, you drip a bit there, they like that, they see this, they get the inkling that I keep seeing this page, they've got some good stuff there, you know, I want to be kept informed. You know, you've got to give them a reason to opt into any list that, you know, that they're going to get some benefit from it. So, and you've got to think it's their benefit, not your benefit necessarily as the business. If you're going to give them something that they will find useful, and a reason that's ultimately going to put them in a better position for having signed up to your list or whatever, it might be a 3 or 4 or 5 stage engagement process with them. You know, they see a bit of information from you and they keep seeing, you know, good bits of information. They get to be aware that you are the authority, that you're the go-to people, that you have something of interest to them at least, and that's their reason for engaging with you. So, you know, there are quite a few ways for people to become engaged with you and sign up with you and go on your database. And, you know, some people are quite concerned about going on databases and stuff. You know, they realise that they are on many databases, but you have to do things, or you should do things like reassure them that their details are safe with you, for example, or safe as they can be, that at least you're not going to rent out their names and the email addresses to other companies or sell them on or share them with other people, and they're going to sort of get their inboxes spammed to hell as a result of signing up to you. So you need to put some reassurance in there. Make it easy for people to unsubscribe. At least they know they can unsubscribe. You know, you want to do things that give them all the confidence that they're dealing with somebody reputable, particularly for small business that you know, they may not have heard of you in the past or up to this date. Now, if it's some national company, international company, whatever, they probably have some degree of trust that they're not going to get messed around on that front. But they don't know who you are, maybe. So you have to give them that reassurance.
Yeah, it's about building relationship. You can't go for gold on the first day out. You've got to let people get to know you and why they should be doing business with you as opposed to where they're already going. Because after all, what you're trying to do here is promote someone to break a relationship that they're already very happy with to come and do business with you. And it's just not easy.
Yeah. Or you're encouraging that if there's something new to them, you know, they've started a new search for something, you know, they will not know you from Adam. And so you really have to try and establish that relationship. You say, you know, engender that relationship from the start. And as you say, possibly potentially break an existing relationship or allow you to take over anyway. But say you've got an email system, an email database that you've already got, that you know, maybe it's sitting there at half a dozen people named in entries in the database. Maybe it's sitting there at 6,000. But the scale of what you want 10 times as much, you want more. Apart from rather sneakily mining all your competitors' data ID off Facebook, what other ways are there of doing it, David? You know, let's avoid the old physical ways that I mentioned at the beginning here. Let's avoid the card decks and the in buying databases, perhaps, or actually getting somebody to phone around everybody, which is a mind-numbingly, tediously dull thing that you don't really want to do if you can avoid it. What options do we have?
I think the most straightforward is via your website. Now, if you haven't got a device on your website to capture people's information, you are genuinely letting yourself down. But I think you might have one that you don't realize even exists. It's just that you haven't plugged the infrastructure into the back of it that will allow you to retain the information. I don't think I've ever been to a website that doesn't have a Contact Us page. Mm-hmm. And every Contact Us page should be attached to a database. something that is going to capture that information. If someone wants to make contact to make an inquiry, then you should capture their information because clearly they're interested in something that you're doing and you're going to want to market to them. Now, the normal rules apply. You need to give them a double opt-in, and you can do that off a good database system because it will still send the inquiry through to you and send them an email back that says just being sure that we are going to place you into our database and we want to make sure that you're happy with that, you know, yes, no, click yep. here, and you're in. And seriously, I haven't seen a website that doesn't have a contact us page. But there are other opportunities throughout any website to gather data. If you've got product on your website, be it from a available for sale from an e-commerce point of view, or just a brochure type listing, then once again, you should be gathering their data if they're clicking on, you know, tell me more about this product. You should have opportunities for people to opt in on every homepage of every website that you've got so that you can information exchange them. Because not only do you want to gather their data, but you want to frame the market so that people see that you're the preferred one to do business with rather than the competitor that's up the road. And all of these can feed into one database or multiple databases, depending on how you want to break it down. David and I both use a back-end system in our websites that allows us to break down, you know, where that leads come from if we want. I certainly do. I want to know which page it's come off and what products they were interested in so that I can make sure that not only am I sending them back the right information, but I'm taking advantage of the opportunities to talk to them about things that are in a related field. You know, if someone asks me about a website, I want to make sure that I talk to them about social media and I talk to them about AdWords and I talk to them about distribution of brochures and I talk to them about whether or not they're using main media and sending people to their website. So these are all opportunities. And if I'm not talking to my customers about that, then I'm not doing my job the right way. And it would be the same if you were a car mechanic.
Yeah.
So
we see quite often it's in the sidebar of websites, the right-hand side, you'll sort of where there's other connecting points around the website. So, you know, recent posts or click here for more information on this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. You'll quite often see a sign-up box, like a form for your add your name and email address and so on. Now, I mean, that is something that I've see so often, I feel it's like underused. You know, there's something there that kind of just says sign up for our newsletter or subscribe or whatever. And sometimes you get some that are really
rank.
Yeah, they don't give any reason. It's very hard to determine what the benefit is to the customer. Sign up for our newsletter. Why? You know, I mean, that's a really common one. But you know, what am I going to get from signing up for a newsletter? What's in it for me? You know, stuff information at me that's going to like just be a sales pitch every time, or is it going to be something interesting? It's really hard for the customer to know sometimes why they should do it, and that can lead to a pretty low conversion rate from those forms. I've certainly seen them. But if you give somebody a reason to sign up, you know, a free report. I've mentioned this kind of thing before. It's called opt-in bait. You're giving something in return. So sign up for it. Tell them what they're going to get in a newsletter, for one thing. If that's all that you have the newsletter, explain what's going to be in it. If there's a freebie, as an incentive, whatever that you can give away to encourage people to sign up for your newsletter or go on your list, so much the better, because you know, it's the benefit for the customer. As long as it's relevant to the page, the website, the business that you're in. No point giving away something that's all to do with something totally irrelevant. But anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm always worried about the term opt-in bait too, because bait to me makes it sound like you're offering something that's of no genuine value. And that's just not the case. If you're doing it the right way, you are providing real value to your clients. So, you know, don't look at it as like clickbait. You know, and I think we've all seen clickbait, you know, where, you know, it's like a tweet or a Facebook thing that sort of says, find out why Chris from, you know, blah, blah, did this. And you go there only to find out that, you know, it's bait. He didn't actually do this. They give you a totally different story.
Yeah. All that does is piss you off.
Yeah, that's right. So you don't want your clients pissed off. You want to give them something where they go, wow, this is great. Wow, why didn't anybody tell me this before?
Now, there are methods when your customer clicks on that sign up for our newsletter. That little bit on the right-hand side, maybe, that you've got, you know, it's, you've maybe not got much really web page for that little box to go on. You know, it's quite often tucked away and it occupies a small part, you know, maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 centimetres down the right-hand side in a little column. But you can, there are ways and means that when somebody clicks on that area, instead of actually typing in their name and email address there and then, it actually opens up a sort of a page on top of the website. So it opens a window on top of pop-up, if you like.
Yeah, pop-up, yeah.
And that gives you the opportunity to do two things. One is that you can actually put a lot more information, the benefits, the reasons why they would want to sign up for your newsletter, what they're going to get from it. Maybe show an image of a typical content or whatever. Tell them what they're going to get for the... Or a video, a really good one is video, yeah, and keep it short. People switch off after a couple of minutes, so you know you really want a 30-second to a minute video. Show them what the opt-in bait, you know, sorry about using that word, but show them what they'd get as the freebie for signing up or whatever. And when you do that as well, the person viewing that website has then got two options. One is they haven't got anything else available on the page. They either enter their details because they've looked at it, or they have to close the window. And that is actually quite powerful, because what you see on a lot of websites, as I say, you've got that very small little area where you put your name and email address. They've got everything else on that page as well to distract them. So, you know, they look at it, they think, oh, shall I enter my name there? Shall I enter my, no. But they click on, if they click on the image of the form and it opens up a page on top of them, you know, they are presented with a stark choice there that they either, carry on, enter the details, and nothing else to distract them. They're actually seeing what they're getting and they know what they're going to get for doing it. So it's quite a powerful way. And, you know, this leads into another whole topic of what's called conversion rate optimization, which is when people are at certain pages on your website, you know, how many of them convert into signing up, or how many of them then convert into buying a product or whatever, or convert taking the action on that page that you want them to take. But that's another whole topic. But, methods like this that I've just mentioned, they typically lead to a much greater conversion rate. So when you see those pop-ups arrive, some websites have got them implemented beautifully. And when they open up in front of you, it's because they've generally been shown to work and get higher conversion rates in the past.
You know the only pop-up that I don't like? That's the one where you go to leave a website and it puts a pop-up that says, are you sure you want to leave? It's like, yes, I'm bloody sure I want to leave.
Do you know what? I do agree with you. There's quite a few things, actually, things that you find annoying sometimes and that you think, I don't want to do that. There's so many times people do them because they are immensely effective. And if you think sometimes, if somebody's going to leave your website, have you really got much to lose? Yes, it's annoying, but you as the website owner, you as the business owner, well, that guy is going to walk away from my website. It's akin to you running out of the shop saying, oi, come back here. Why are you leaving my shop? You haven't bought anything yet. Can I offer you something? And it's your final chance to engage with that person before they walk off down the street. Annoying, but worth investigating. And when you do these things, of course, the ultimate and most important thing is test it.
Yes.
See how effective. If it works and it's effective and it, then you have to live with the fact that, it might be annoying, but it works. If it doesn't work, then, why be annoying? Yeah. Be the good guy.
I've got another one for you because you've just reminded me when you said store. I've got a client who's got an iPad set up on their counter right next to the till.
Oh, yeah.
And we created a little app that connects back to their database. And basically, it's set up in a very colourful way, a bit like, lollies at the supermarket checkout. We're trying to attract the attention of the person who's standing there waiting to pay for their goods. And we offer them a chance in the $50 gift voucher draw that we draw each month just to enter their data in. And it captures them straight away. And you would be astounded at how many people fill out that form while they're standing there at the checkout, waiting for, the transaction to be completed. And we deliberately created the form so that it was very quick to fill out. We don't at that point try and get lots of detail from them. If we get their name, their phone number and their email, that's all we want. So, and we don't even go for their full name, we just go for their Christian name, their first name.
Yeah, indeed, because you can always capture more data later on if you need to.
That's right.
I recently bought another email database for a client of mine, and the one I used was kind of overkill, really, for their needs at this stage and a little bit too expensive. I bought a new database system for them, set it all up, and got to importing the data, the customer data. Now, these guys, and something to beware of with whatever system you use, is when you're importing data into a database system, is the legalities and what the database companies will allow you to import. Yes. Regards, you know, existing customer data, database information. If you come along with an Excel spreadsheet of people that have dropped business cards in an exhibition, whatever, you know, or as I was just thinking of you with your iPad there, you know, it used to be quite common. You used to have a big bowl with a drop your business card in here for, you know, win a bottle of champagne at the end of the month or whatever, that sort of thing. You know, you will more than likely not be allowed to import that kind of data into a database anymore. Mm. They haven't opted in. They haven't double opted in. You know, the most they might allow you to do is actually import the data, but not send them a newsletter type email. You might be allowed to send them an individual email one at a time, that kind of thing. So just be careful what kind of system you have, what's allowed, and what your existing data is and what you're allowed to do with that.
I was at a menswear store just the other day where they had the old Goldfish bowl full of business cards. And I actually said to them, you know, what do you do with it? And they said, oh, we enter it into an Excel spreadsheet. And then what do you do with it? And I said, oh, we haven't got that far yet, sir. I said, how long have you been collecting business cards for? And he said, well, I've been here 10 years. So probably a bit longer than that. So I had 10 years worth of business cards and never done anything with it. I know. I just about broke down and cried on the floor.
That's ridiculous. God, good grief. That's not that good. I mean, it's kind of like good in a way that at least they're thinking about it, but unfortunately not really carry on thinking about it and not thought it through. But yeah, so where else are we on this one, David? What else have we got?
Oh, well, actually, you mentioned something there with the legalities of importing it into a CRM system that will allow you to use the data. Now, traditionally, people have bought databases as well in the past. I've done it too. I've done it for clients. But one of the things you do need to consider is if you are going to import it into a customer management system, then you may not be able to do it because some of them reject bought databases because people haven't, you know, there's no proof that someone's double opted into it.
Yeah, they've not opted in to what you're offering. They may have opted into a different database, but not yours. And that's become increasingly important. Some countries, I think Canada now have one of the toughest anti-spam laws and that kind of thing. And you've got to be so careful what you do now and keep clean and keep on the right side. Another one that restriction that is often placed is that these database companies... you know, we're talking about the companies here that host all the data. You built your list and you want to send emails off to, 3,000 people or whatever. And these people run the systems and it's them that's sending out the emails on your behalf through their servers. They want to keep clean. They don't want lots of people receiving your email and hitting this is spam and unsubscribing button. That's just getting them a bad reputation with the internet service providers. So these guys are pretty keen on keeping things as tight and shipshape as possible from their perspective. And when, again, you think about importing data in there, if you haven't contacted those people for a year, they will be very reluctant to let you enter them into the database because you know, they will be deemed as old contacts, people that haven't heard from you. They're not engaged with you. They will be deemed as potentially out of date and so on. And they're going to be very concerned that they get an email from you saying, "Hi, it's me again after a year." And these people say, "Who the hell are you? I never heard about you in the first place, blah, blah, blah." And they'll unsubscribe. So,
well, we had an example just like that only the other week. We had a client who'd spent 18 months building a list, had 6,000 people on the list and sent his first email out. And his first email actually said, "Hey, we know that you've subscribed into our database and that we haven't been in touch before now, but we've been getting everything right. We're just giving you one more opportunity." So they were actually triple opting in people. So giving them an opportunity to unsubscribe. What they asked them to do in the email was just to reply email and say unsubscribe if they didn't want to receive it. And they didn't actually have anyone send an email back that said unsubscribe. What they did have, though, was 15 people report them for spam.
Really?
And they immediately got a series of emails from the provider saying, "Hey, you at 6,000 people going out and 15 coming back, that is an unacceptably high proportion of people reporting you for spam. We are considering blocking your list."
Yeah, you've got to be careful with that. I think the limit on something like that, well, they're like nothing, but
yeah.
I mean, when I send out to about 4,500 people, you know, I might get one or maybe two spam, and when and you know, you just have to live with that to some degree. But you know, if you're getting more than that kind of 0.01%, you know, one in a thousand, if you're getting more than that, then you might have a problem on your hands. So you know, keep your database clean. Don't abuse it. It's the end of the world. I think we've mentioned that before in the past, but always worth going over that one again. Right, David, I think we've covered quite a bit here on building databases and what to do with them once you have. I think it's about time we wished our listeners goodbye for another week and encourage them to come back and listen to another episode next week.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, you know, we have another 66 or 67 episodes previous to this. And if you haven't listened to them all yet, you've got a lot of listening ahead of you. Go and look at them, find them, download them at davidversusdavid.com. You can also contact us through our Facebook page, facebook.com/davidversusdavid. And our favourite as ever is leave us a nice glowing review at iTunes, please. And you'll find all the other episodes there as well. Excellent. So I think from me here in the UK, at the beginning of a rather dreary looking autumnal day out there, but hey ho, it's what we have to live with this time of year. As our clocks go back and the nights draw in and it gets shorter and shorter here and whatever, it's going to be a good day for me. And over in sunny Tasmania, where the nights are getting longer and sunshine abounds and the kangaroos are bouncing all over the place, no doubt. David, I guess it's over from you.
It's goodbye from me. It's time to go and fire the Barbie up and have a relaxing end to the day. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.